Today's gospel reading is from Luke 3. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." During seminary, I was lucky enough to be a campus minister at Earlham College in Richmond, Indiana. And one day, two sophomores came to me and asked me for some help thinking about their relationship. In specific, they wanted to think about how to describe or name who they were to each other. They explained, "We're really good friends, yet it feels like we're more. We know each other's hearts and we truly love one another, and yet it isn't romantic. But it's like nothing we've ever known before." So together, the three of us played with language. And I suggested, keep in mind this was the 90s, I suggested that they could be soul friends or soulmates, and they quickly rolled their eyes at me. Finally, with a sense of relief, they came upon the word beloved. Beloved. And they knew that's who they were to each other. Beloveds. That particular word continues to be precious to me. Maybe because it's kind of old-fashioned, and we don't hear it a lot, and it also has biblical roots. The word beloved, as found in today's gospel reading, comes from the Greek agapetos. And that word has also been translated, besides beloved, as my delight, highly esteemed, very dear, chosen, and my favorite, marked by my love, tattooed by my love, one could say. Now, one of the things that interests me about today's text is that Jesus' baptism is one of the few stories that you're going to find in all four of the Gospels. And I always say, pay special attention to these stories, right? And as you might expect, there is some differences in each of the gospel tellings, especially when it comes to the voice from heaven. John's gospel doesn't actually quote the voice. Rather, the author describes more poetically about the baptism and the Spirit coming down as a dove and remaining on Jesus, but doesn't specifically talk about the voice. Now, Mark and Luke do share the exact same wording, including the words, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Then Matthew, he renders it, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So we have Luke and Mark, God is speaking directly to Jesus, reminding him who he is and whose he is. "You are Jesus, my beloved. You are marked by my love." While in Matthew, God is speaking about Jesus instead of to him, announcing to all those who could hear, this one, see this Jesus over here, he is my beloved. Pay attention to him. I think it's an interesting difference. So, if you were there that day, which version would you prefer? You are my beloved, or this is my beloved? Well, if it was up to me, I'd like to hear both, please. You know, it's true that I really need to hear regularly that I am marked by God's love, just as I am right here, right now. But I also like the idea of God letting other folk know that I am also marked by her love. There's something about a public affirmation, isn't there? And that really is the very good news of the gospel. That just as Jesus is God's beloved, so are you, and so am I. God says it directly, and God says it about us. Right here, right now, just as we are, without one plea, as that hymn says it. Or to quote, some of you may know Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz Weber. Every January, she puts out these words. There is no New Year's resolution that, if kept, will make you more worthy of love. You, your actual self, not as some made-up self, is already worthy. I love that. Already worthy, already beloved, you and me today, here, now. Some of you may also be familiar with the writings of Henry Nouwen. He was very instrumental in my spiritual journey, late 80s and 90s. And he is a Catholic priest. And he wrote with great honesty and vulnerability about some of his own struggles, particularly about his struggle to believe that he was good enough. And he wrote in a piece called Life of the Beloved, he wrote these words, "What I would like to say is that the spiritual life is a life in which you gradually learn to listen to a voice that says, you are the beloved, and on you my favor rests." Jesus heard that voice, and I hope all of us can hear that voice too. That voice that says, "I love you with an everlasting love. I have molded you together in the depths of the earth. I have knitted you in your mother's womb. I have written your name on the palm of my hand. And I hold you safe in the shade of my embrace." Trust. Trust that is truly who you are. Now one concludes, that is where the spiritual life starts anew every single day, by claiming that voice, the voice that calls us and names us the beloved. Letting that voice seek into the depths of our being, not just here, but here. That is both healing and transforming. In fact, I think it's really significant that it was after Jesus heard those incredible words that he went out and he faced the devil in the desert. Right after today's reading, we read in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit in the desert where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And what are the first words that came out of that tempter's mouth? If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Right? If you are the Son of God. Notice the devil uses the same language, Son of God, but the devil, whom we could also call that critical, accusing inner voice, the devil leaves out the word beloved. Because we are a lot less likely to listen to that accusing voice when we remember who we are and whose we are. I have a really good friend. Her name is Summer Cushman, and she's a pastor and a phenomenal yoga instructor in the state of Washington. And a recent sermon, she tells a story about facing down her accuser, or what she calls her mean voice. Summer said, "I am blessed with an amazing and deeply empathetic best friend. And once, when we were in the bathroom together while she was drying her hair, I found the courage to tell her how I talked to myself in my own head, what I call the mean voice. Tears welled up in my friend's eyes. She put the blow dryer down. I think she touched my head or pointed at me and said, 'You are not allowed to talk to my friend like that. You are not allowed to talk to my friend like that.'" I love that. Summer says, "It was a powerful, transformative moment for me. I found the courage to admit this lack of love out loud in public, at least in the public of the bathroom with my best friend. And through this action of articulating pain out loud, I was offered love. And through the action of receiving love, I was able to create the habit of a new inner voice, a voice that stands guard against the mean voice." And friends, that's my prayer for today, that God help us all not only believe, but take in our belovedness and hear that inner voice that affirms who we are and whose we are today and just as we are. For living into our belovedness frees us, among other things, to go out and more fully love one another. Love one another without exceptions, right? And then, in the words of William Penn, together we can see what love will do.